Greetings, and welcome to the table. My name is Maynard. Tonight, I'm going to be your game host, referee, storyteller, whatever you might want to call me. Hope you enjoy your time with us, and welcome to our game, a role-playing adventure set in the land of Calabria, within the bounds of Ironclaw. Well, sort of. But first things first. Ironclaw is a pen-and-paper role-playing system from the fine folks over at Sanguine, set in an anthropomorphic fantasy world on the continent of Calabria. It's rife with political intrigues, personal journeys, and grand adventures, and ancient mysteries. Which, in short, means it's kind of like D&D, the characters are animal people, and there are a lot of storytelling potentials in the world they set up. The game that you're about to hear skews a little bit away from the core book. I've set my story more than 100 years after the scenarios described in the Ironclaw books, moving from a high fantasy world to something a little more akin to steampunk. I've done my best to keep within the original tone, however, and the underlying systems are all unchanged. The only real difference is that I've added a few more gifts, which are like powers or abilities that each character may have. That being said, a bit of history. Generations ago, the Church of Solimar declared all unsanctioned forms of magic anathema, specifically forms of necromancy. What followed was quite literally a witch hunt. There was a great purge, an inquisition, that swept the land, during which the church managed to convert the Lord Bisclavray of Harrogate. They proceeded to run magic and the bats, their designated scapegoat in the ensuing crusades, to near the point of extinction, or at the very least, deep underground. The church established a new military branch called the White Guard, in consort with the House Rinaldi and Triskelin. The once famed noble family had nearly succumbed to the rising tide of the guilds, but with Solimar and the church to support them, they quickly reinstated their reign. The bats all but disappeared. Some of them moved to the mountaintops, others to the deep woods, and still others said to have established a flying city hidden in the clouds somewhere over the ocean. It was generations after the Imperium before the church recanted its politics on bats. Although they are now allowed within the realms again, they are no more trusted by the general populace that grew up with stories of a wicked and evil species than they were before. Much of this destruction, the swiftness of the Crusades, and the near genocide was made possible by the invention and production of airships. As it stands now, there are three major powers: the Bisclavray Wolves and their smoke-bound city of Harrogate, the Avoid de Poix Horses and their ancient holy cities to the east, and the City of Light, Triskelion. Triskelion stands a free state and the home of the Church of Solimar. The Rinaldi Foxes still control the city, perhaps the most diverse in Calabria, although some wonder how much of their own will is left in the face of the Church's support.
In this, the story of the White Ship Destiny and her crew, we first meet our players in media res, as it were, in the Freeport of Overhang, having just survived a nighttime attack and in the process of expanding their numbers. The story of the White Ship, however, started some weeks before in the holy city of Triskelion. Down by the docks, in a particularly dilapidated inn called the Sodden Wharf Rat, a gray fox named Lorenzo Volpi de Rinaldi nurses a cup of rocket while his friend, a massive tiger by the name of Durian Ortiz, watches and despairs. Clearly, though, their story started many years before. Lorenzo de Rinaldi, as his name suggests, was born into the noble house Rinaldi. Rulers of the city of Triskelion and lords of renown throughout the lands of Calabria, his title never so much weighed on him as it did spur him on. Far enough from the throne to live his own life, but near enough to have been raised in courtly elegance, he followed the family tradition and entered the White Guard as soon as he was of age. He served at first as a ship's boy on his uncle's airship, training to someday follow him in duty as the ship's captain. It was on that ship, the Wisdom of John, that Lorenzo, the young noble, met the would-be quartermaster, cook's boy, Durian. During their service together, their friendship grew. After rifle training, however, Lorenzo showed a particular knack and so was recruited into the Brotherhood of the Crosshair. The Brotherhood is an elite sniper school, originally established to assist the Church of Solimar in the purging of unsanctioned magic and its practitioners. While Lorenzo rose through the ranks, lauded for both his accuracy and his faithful service, Durian climbed the ranks aboard the Wisdom of John. Too common in his habits for command, his silver tongue and affable manner nonetheless made him an almost suspiciously successful quartermaster and acquisitions officer. While these young men made their respective marks in the Triskelion Navy, others, destined to meet, were finding their paths. Not far away, at the Grand College of Dunwasser, a young squirrel of curious breeding met an eccentric professor. The squirrel, a lad named Yoski, hails from a distant and mountainous home and carries his family's distinctive flaps, allowing them to glide or even fly to some degree. The professor, keen on the young squirrel's innate weather sense, began tutoring him outside of class hours. What started as simple curiosities, however, soon grew into the teaching of forbidden texts. The clever Yoski learned quickly, and before he graduated, was practically a master of elemental magics, still proscribed by the church. High in another remote mountain village, another student showed his own prowess, although in a very different discipline. Ishmael, a young bat, fell in love with maps. Scrolls and parchments that told of faraway lands in such amazing and real detail. Keen with a protractor, and with a sense for the winds and the skies as sharp as any airship captain, he trained himself to be an expert navigator. After generations of hate and fear, the Church of Solimar had retracted its own policies against the bats, and even gone so far as to announce recruitment of bats specifically. Ishmael traveled to Triskelin and was, as promised, recruited into the Royal Navy. His service was not as he had hoped. Although he was trotted out in his custom-cut uniform for parades and proper occasions, his quarters aboard the Fulguration were not so grand. He lived his days in a cage, in the captain's quarters, released to ply his trade or to prance about for the spectators before returning to bonded servitude. In many ways, it was this bondage, and this breaking of the churchly promise, that would gather the players together. In some ways, it was his tragedy that would save their lives. Half a world away, a rabbit lass stole aboard a ship. Her father's, perhaps, or maybe a stranger's. She tricked them into letting her stay on and work by disguising herself as a boy, or she fought their toughest man to prove her worth. Who really knows? Sure of paw, with a clever tongue, she could kick her way out of anything she couldn't talk her way through or run away from. How she fell in with pirates is a question of some mystery, and she seems most uninclined to unravel it. Giving her name is Aki, and speaking with the strange accent of one from Shenghuo, she proved herself an able hand both shipboard and dockside. She traveled, sometimes as a pauper girl, swept away by cruel fate and forced to serve, another time a pirate princess striving to return to her people and treasure. Whatever her real story is unknown. It was Durian the Tiger, having been transferred to the Fulguration, who met Ishmael the Bat and first started questioning the wisdom of his commanders. Known for his unshakable faith, he was nonetheless troubled by the apparent hypocrisy. Still, his friend Lorenzo had continued correspondence, and his rise in the ranks of both the White Guard and Noble remained a reassurance to the Tiger. Lorenzo, having become a much-awarded sharpshooter, was honored to be one of those standing guard over the Elder Duke's procession. The Duke Rinaldi had gone snow-white with age, and was constantly surrounded by sages of his beloved Church of Solimar. Twice honored, Lorenzo knew it was likely his last public procession. His son and heir, Eric Rinaldi, rode beside him wearing the trappings of his station as a paladin of the Church of Solimar. Lorenzo watched them, and saw as a gloved paw reached beneath the cloak, revealing the telltale glimmer of a pistol butt in the crowd. He had been trained. He fired. What he had done was well within his orders, but what he had done was likewise nigh unforgivable. The cloaked panther that he had shot and killed, armed within the crowd, was no petty assassin. He was a lord in his own right and a dear friend of Prince Eric. Lorenzo was not discharged, though he was stripped of his rank and duties and left to wallow at port. He was not stripped of his title, but he was no longer made welcome at court. He had, he decided, brought much shame on his family and his duty. At first he hoped to make his way elsewise, but he, or rather his family, was too well known about town. Unable, thanks to his standing, if indeterminate duty, to leave, he was trapped in Triskelin. Having given up, and yet still unwilling to take his own life, he decided to fake his own death. A contrived tumble from a high walk into the bay and a planned swim to shelter was enough to convince those present that he had drowned and did not rise again. In death, he noted bitterly, all of his honors were restored. It was only a few weeks after the seeming death of Lorenzo that Aki feared her story may end early as well. When a ship was captured over the Corsair Islands, she was the only survivor. Taken to Triskelin for trial and subsequent execution, she stood in a prison cell awaiting her hanging in the morning. Her cellmate, an odd squirrel by the name of Yosuke, were little more than his skivvies, having been stripped of his red robes after nearly instigating a riot in the town square, decrying the hypocrisy of a church that employs mages to hunt mages on the premise that all mages are evil. Durian, enraged by the ill treatment of his friend, convinced, of course, of his innocence, and having made a new friend of the once demonized bat, found himself all but unable to serve. The fulguration had made Doc at Triskelin, and he, with shore relief for his friend's funeral, sought to drown his sorrows. Imagine, then, his surprise when he found his dear, dead friend doing just the same thing, and a damn sight further along at it as well. It is here that we come to the sodden wharf rat, and two friends, much inebriated, having all but given up on their former lives. Drunk, almost beyond coherence, Lorenzo, who insisted on being called by his middle name, Volpe, lamented their state. Trapped, he insisted, unable to continue on and unable to return to the way things were. Durian agreed, but likewise lamented that there was nothing much they could do. An airship, Volpe mused. An airship all their own. The two spun stories of open skies, freedom, and nothing but the striving to keep her in the air to drive them on and or hold them back. But an airship would be impossible to obtain, in their state and in their place. Volpe continued to lament. Why, one would need an airship all but emptied, for between them, or even with a pack of thugs at their back, they could not take on an entrenched crew. Still then, one would need access to the docks, a white guard insignia at least, to gain access to the ship. But even if they could somehow sneak their way aboard, they would need someone to lead them out of the bay at night, so as not to be seen, a crew to run the lines. But all of it would be for naught, of course, as the harbor guard would note their preparations for takeoff and be on them before they had even half-filled the great balloons that lifted the airship aloft. Impossible, Durian agreed as his friend slumped into a drunken stupor, and then he set about his business. He made his way to the officer's mess, laughing his way in despite his rank by calling in a dicing debt with the man at the door. He spent what little denarii he had on a fine bottle of spirits and made his way around the tables jesting and conversing. He continued, half his bottle still undrunk, to the general mess and made the same rounds. His alcohol and much of the night spent, he hurried on towards what he had learned. First to the manor house, one of many owned by the Rinaldi and their kin, where Lorenzo had lived before his untimely death. Pleading grief and drink, he waved off the servants and was allowed into his old friend's rooms, where an empty casket had been set for his mourning. Sneaking deep into the house, he lifted a uniform jacket belonging to Lorenzo's uncle, by then an admiral, and even managed to pick up Volpe's rifle and sidearm on the way out. Returning to his drunken friend and dressing him, still mostly unconscious, in his borrowed garb, he lifted the fox, setting an arm about his shoulder as support, and together they stumbled through the city. First, they made their way to the cells, just outside the barracks by the military section of the dock. There they were stopped at the door, but Durian explained that the admiral had been given the charge of the prisoner's execution and, disliking the duty, had prepared for us in the taverns. He had decided, as was his right, to move up the execution to as soon as possible. Still unwilling, the guard was cowed by an angry threat to join them, barked by the Greyford, Fox, and Admiral Spars. Peering through the little window in the metal door, Durian inquired, "Are you the one that set the stones of the square to flames?" Although he had done little more than singe some tails and set a bit of thatching on fire, Yosuke was quick enough not to gainsay his prowess. The strangely dressed rabbit in the cell with them made a twofold argument to take her as well. First, she was an able hand, or so she claimed, at whatever it is that they might be about, and second, she could raise a wicked racket and snare their plans should they leave her. Convinced, she joined the strange parade, masquerading first as a crowd of prisoners, then hiding with a drunk fox admiral in an alley while the huge tiger snuck off on surprisingly silent paws. He returned shortly with two bags of sailor's uniforms and a cage nearly big enough to fit the squirrel, although it was covered in a tarp, making it look more like Lesaver's duffel from a distance. Having changed into uniforms and looking much like a pack of sailors on their last night before shipping out, they made their way to the wet dock. Again, they were stopped at the gate, but Durian explained that the admiral had demanded a tour of the new ship, and by then Volpe had sobered enough to at least stare imperiously and play the commander's part, although he giggled over much when he thought the others weren't watching, and may have thought the whole thing a vivid dream. They made their way aboard the strange ship, and immediately set about stealing it. It cast off while the squirrel mage found the engine room and lit the coal with unnatural fires. What should have taken over an hour took nearly 15 minutes. Before the guards on the dock even knew what they were about, the great turbines were spinning and they were lifting out of the water. Revealing his mysterious package, Durian released the bat Ishmael from his cage for the last time. Perched on the prow, using his echolocation to navigate their way out of the fog-cloaked harbor, they lift into the night sky. Their last act before leaving Triskelion altogether was to throw a cage back towards the city. Other than a very confused morning for Volpe, wondering why these strangers keep calling him captain and why they seem to be on an unfamiliar airship, their escape went surprisingly well. They counted stocks and despaired somewhat at the supply and made their heading overhang, a free port where they could pick up more supply and crew as well.
Welcome back to the story of the White Ship Destiny and her crew, a steam claw, that is to say an iron claw based steampunk game, story of adventures both noble and piratical.
What the hell you guys were doing?
We had literally just finished hiring a crew
and then killing
about 20?
I meant actually a little broader than that. Do you remember where you are? Do you remember why you're there?
We're in Overhang, and we are there because we needed a place to crash that was going to be not immediately within the reach of Triskelion, not somewhere they'd check immediately, so that we could take on supplies, although we're doing pretty well with supplies. But basically to trade some stuff out,
yeah,
try and pick up
okay
a crew
with,
and
like,
maybe some weapons.
You were okay with dry goods, but you didn't have much in the way of, like, fresh fruit and meat and stuff.
And fortunately, we had found the captain's strong box.
Right. So you did buy a whole bunch of your... Mm-hmm. You're pretty good on that now, though you still only have a couple of cannons.
Right, which, because this place doesn't have cannons. We'd have to go to Harrogate or somewhere similar in order to get cannon.
Right.
Because we can't go to Triskelion and buy cannons. They would frown on that.
They might frown on that.
Hi, we stole your ship. Can you give us some weapons?
Really glad that you came to Triskelion. The cannons would be an issue.
Well, to be fair, Triskelion already bought us 4 cannons.
That's true. That's certainly a good way to look at it.
So that means that Gemma doesn't make it back.
So, wait,
we are funded by Triskelion.
Right.
They just don't necessarily approve of it.
So does that mean Gemma was actually one of the people, one of the... Because it was Gemma's cousin.
It was Gemma's cousin that attacked, but Gemma does not make it to the boat afterwards. So either Gemma was a part of the attack, or Gemma found out about the attack and was too ashamed to come back, or Gemma didn't make it through the attack. You're not really sure.
Attack?
We got a. So you guys have no idea, but
right.
We were actually attacked in the middle of
so
the
you
night.
Guys,
oh, okay.
You guys hired on. They literally held open hiring. He sat out on the dock, and people came up and
with my fancy
they hired on
and my gun and my jacket, which has been stripped of all Triskelion, is still actually a captain's jacket, very clearly.
Right, and. They hired a bunch of people and said, okay, we leave at first light tomorrow. You guys left. And when you came back in the morning, everybody looked tired. Because that night, they all fought off an invasion.
There might be a couple scorch marks on the deck, too.
Right. Again, it's...
Dilemma of fire!
It comes to a question of, what name did you give when you signed their ship charter?
I'd have to discuss that with the captain.
He's the one that was signing it. He was the one sitting at the table taking the charter. So that's something that you two can discuss in front or aside, however you prefer.
Public's fine.
Friend Pig! And what should we call you? Because... I don't think you've actually said your name yet.
Well, I imagine this would actually be during the hiring process.
Oh, okay. So then in that case, yeah.
We're sitting there.
And...
So what can you do?
What is it that you do, friend?
I am well-respected among the Vidams of Lucara. I'm also well-respected by a famed church
that has asked me to perform a series of increasingly unfortunate removals.
I don't like this guy.
I pull my arm and you see a series of Lutaran-based mystic writings. On this side, you see one brand raised in the skin from the church.
I'm very familiar with unfortunate removals being required by the church.
Unfortunately, my name has been given over to my power. It's not possible for me to answer that question of yours. I will neither can I sign. You may, of course, call me whatever you wish.
So you're telling me that you don't have a name, that you gave your name over to your power. Are you a wizard?
I am a journeyman thaumaturgist. I'm very close to achieving mastery.
So do you light stuff on fire? Or do you talk in people's brains? Or do you heal people?
No. I'm not one of those.
No, they're illegal.
Practitioners. You can't count.
He's illegal too. Well, kind of.
I deal in mostly magical theory. What it means is that your friend with the lightning projections would be ineffective.
1 second. Hey, engineer!
Yeah?
The cat's like, who are you asking for? Go get the mage in here.
So you get summoned down.
He says that he's a thaumaturge. I don't know what that is. What's a thaumaturge?
You can roll your supernatural and mind.
He's from Dunwasser. He knows. Although Dunwasser's not what it used to be, I guess, so.
Yeah, he's not from Dunwasser, the magic school. He was trained in magic.
On the sly,
behind closed doors. His full and grandiose understanding of magic as a whole is lacking slightly.
I know how to blow shit up.
That's true.
Well, in fact.
So this is difficulty 4, so get a 5 or better.
Okay.
Then yes, you are aware of what a thaumaturge does.
Okay, but I'm not actually aware of what a thaumaturge does.
A thaumaturge is somebody who practices metamagic.
Ah, okay.
They practice magic that affects magic or that affects people's ability in general.
Okay.
So removing one's ability to attack or removing one's ability to contain a spell, things like that. The only time you're likely to run into a thaumaturge is as an agent of the church, specifically as a witch hunter, and they're avoided at all costs because they will strip you of your power and kill you on the spot.
So yeah, I just kind of blanch a little bit.
He says he's a thaumaturge and that he used to work for the church. He claims that he won't tell us which church, but
as far as you know, that means he's there to kill you.
I gotta go.
Wait. What's wrong?
I gotta go.
I'm not here for him. I'm just here to get out of Harrogate.
Oh, we're in Overhang.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm just here to get out of Overhang.
You swear that on your power?
I do.
Okay, you can stay.
And he gave his name over to his power, so he must, like, kind of mean it. All right.
So if you roll mind and supernatural again, same difficulty, you may be able to. You may be familiar with the anonymous.
I am.
Okay. So you have heard of mages giving up their names to gain mystical defenses.
So he's an anti-mage.
Essentially, yes.
We may be hunted by the church.
Incredible.
Yes. Would you be willing to strike at your former employers?
I think willing is a bit of an understatement.
Very well, then. Come back in the morning.
Max to grind.
So,
I'm supposed to call you something?
A 7.
Whatever you wish.
I was looking at the chocolate.
Captain is station.
Okay. So then to you, so you are actually aware that you can name him.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the chocolates that are on the table are for
you. He cannot give you any name.
Okay. So yeah, Captain, we can give him a name. He just can't give himself a name.
No!
When he comes back in the morning, I'll have him sign next to the name that we put down. But what do we want to call him? Because, you know, Mage Death might be a little direct.
I said
Red
Ball. A little too on the nose?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I haven't had chocolate in a while.
Bob is a good name.
Coming from a sailor, that's fucked up.
Well, and besides, he'd be Bob if he had wings.
I don't talk
because to then you Bob in the air. On an airship, Bob is not a good name.
Well, remember, these are airships that also
I
sail on
aware,
the water.
But
so.
Still.
Yeah.
But
most airships that you've seen have a single grand bag overhead and drapes down to a ship bottom. Mm. This actually has two bags split to either side.
And it's
and a long, wide central bottom.
Not
No, they're Zeppelin bags. It's not like they're big square bags. It's like torpedoes on either side.
So it really does look like that one that I brought up in Warcraft, the one that's got the two big balloons.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But the best part is that it's got double cabling. Because each balloon is attached by two sets of cables. So that trick that we talked about, that would not make another ship hang, would work on us. Not on one shot, anyway. Excuse me. Hey!
And considering the big turbines and the turbines in the back, it actually looks a lot like the Dragon Ship Destiny.
I'm having a hell of a time trying to find it. Just not sure what to do.
Can I see your...
I still think this is the best picture.
Brandon, go see
Mom. Is that someone that hit you?
No, no. It's just a car we're going by, and we actually have a friend named LC. Oh.
What is it?
The picture of the truck that we were driving behind that one time.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be an LC. Don't be an ALC. Yeah.
I'm surprised there's...
Oh, nice save on the character sheet.
Feeding the dice, are we?
Towels
apparently.
Towels are coming.
Sorry.
There's a reason why they have a plasticized tablecloth.
Mm-hmm. And there's a reason.
Get over here.
Well, there's... No. Hasn't had to worry about the tablecloth yet.
Oh. I thought you were actually talking about the number of tablecloths, but...
Oh, yeah.
So
right.
So yeah, what do we want to call him? Because you know, I'm all for calling him BP and just leaving it at that.
Big pig.
He is, right? What's your body size?
8.
Yeah, he is kind of a big guy.
There's plenty of things I want to do. It's just there's a certain amount of assumption that I haven't been trained in a whole lot.
Well, what would you like to do that you're not sure on the training for?
Well, I figure I probably have daggers and I'm fully capable of throwing them, or at least
sure.
Eventually. But I'm not really seeing a whole lot of...
Quick draw.
Look at the
but
quick
I'm
draw
not
chain.
Sure I necessarily have that.
So that's all stuff that you could have taught yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I taught myself to do this.
Right, but I only have one mark in... range and one more in melee.
Well,
you actually
thrown.
Want thrown.
You're
yeah. Thrown.
For yeah. Thrown.
Oh,
ranged is like guns, bows, stuff like that.
You might actually want to take it out of melee combat and put it into
throne. Or out of range and put it
No.
She's saying you might want to take both and put them both into throwing.
Because if you get up close and personal, you're screwed.
That's true.
You can put that down, though.
Okay, well, did you wipe out the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't feel it. I was paying attention to her.
In that case, you do have stuff.
Did you also add the other seven skill points?
Well, that's why I have one point in either of them anyway. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, because...
But you do have stealth. So you can be like, zoomy, zoom, zoom, zoom. Turn knives at you. Zoomy, zoom, zoom, zoom. Run away.
So the reason why I'd argue against putting them both in is that you being actually allowed to carry weapons is a relatively new development.
Yeah. That's why I only put one in each.
Right. And so rather than taking them both and putting them both in throwing, because especially throwing, you wouldn't have been able to do until relatively recently.
Right.
Having one in each sort of implies it's like, I have these knives, I'm just beginning to learn how to use them.
That was exactly my thought.
But if you figure a gift is not necessarily something that you spent a long time training, it may be a knack. You may have pulled out some knives, you know, like, what are you going to use? He's like, well, I don't want to use a sword. Well, here's knives. You can throw these. And it's like, okay, here's how you throw it. And then one day he went, thwack, thwack. I get it.
Well, it might also be that it isn't necessarily for the knives, in that if I have something in a pocket, especially if I use it while I'm flying, I might have developed quick draw to get any little thing out of in case I need it. So,
yeah, sort of.
Okay. So let me do that then.
I'm kind of amused that. Shit, I need a pencil.
Throw it. Yeah. Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. As he's up above, kind of, you know, making charts on like a little...
Yep.
A little charty
thing. Just because I hide pencils and stuff all over.
Well, no, his charts are awesome because there's a bar running across the captain's court right over the desk, and he hangs upside down and does all of his charting.
Means that he doesn't leave paw smudges
at all. But more to the point, that he can go, okay, we're here. And then he can drop his compass and go, okay. And it's not like he's leaning over something. It's not like he's going to get a tilt. He has a 100% direct over the map view. The bar probably actually slides. Probably has a few different locks in it.
Yeah.
He can
scoot over and like twist the thing.
Squeak, and it rolls in. And so I've probably even got maps hung upside down along the walls so I can. I'm working on this. Okay, that's.
Yeah. I'm sitting here and I wake up and I look at all these maps. And I'm like, something's wrong. I don't understand.
You're looking at these words and going, I know how to read. Why can't I read any of...
Oh!
The worst part is I can totally see my character doing that.
Oh, it kind of makes sense now. He looks at it for a minute. He squints at it. He reaches around. He pulls out his scope. Pops off one of the lenses. Ah!
True. Because my character kind of has an understanding of optics.
And it's a two-lens scope. So... One inverts it, the other reverts it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good to go then.
Okay, so...
So, we're looking for a name for him,
I think.
Well,
sort of
do you guys decide on a name that night? Or does this discussion get waylaid? Like, we'll figure it out in the morning, and then your morning gets kind of sucky, and he shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd probably work.
We could do that.
So, everybody shows up, which is to say...
Procrastination.
Jerome, the otter. Eleanor, the coyote. And Aaron and Nara, the wolves. So that's your cook, your medic, and a couple of sailors. Along with Kaori, the badger, and the as-of-yet-unnamed boar.
I suppose if you can name it, it might be less boring.
Calling him boar would actually work. He's the only one on the boat so far.
We could just call him D.
D?
Well, most boars are from the... are Dolaro. So D would be short for...
That works.
There you go.
I mean, it probably has nothing to do with what his real name is, but That's kind of the point, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm okay with D.
Besides, then he's Mage Hunter D.
You aimed for that, didn't you?
Me? No, never!
So when you come on, the part where you're to make your mark on the charter just says, just has the letter D.
And you just need to make some accepting mark. It doesn't actually need to be anything that means anything.
Blue charm for whatever.
That's fucked up.
Anybody here speak blue charm?
Yeah, no.
So he writes something down in a language you don't understand.
Well, it's a mark.
Alphabet you don't understand, yeah.
His
mark
know.
Is
can
just
do, academic
he may
role
have
we'll
written his name down. You don't know. You can make an academics roll to recognize it. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. Let me get all the names of all the crew that we have already. So then I'm
Lorenzo.
And I am the captain.
Yes.
And the
mate. You recognize the language. Your name?
And what's Joey's character?
Durian Ortiz.
Durian, D-U-R-I-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the navigator is the bat.
Ishmael, call me as such.
And our Mageneer.
Just call me Yos. With the double L.
You can give him a quote Yos. And
with the map.
No spelling elsewise.
Plus.
All right. let's see, our pilot.
Yeah.
Because that is technically what we hired Chris, or what Chris has expressed that
right.
He's good at.
Aki.
A-K-I.
Yeah.
All right. And then we have our badger, who's going to be our engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kiori.
Which is almost like being a Mageneer, but not quite. Yeah,
going
to be impressed as hell when
so when you're brought on board, they explain... This is great, because our Mageneer has been saying that he wants a proper engineer to work with him.
So says the strangely dressed rabbit.
Which one's a rabbit?
Chris.
Okay.
I guess I should write down.
Who, depending on when you ask her, is either a pirate queen or was a servant on a ship. You're not really sure. Wears strange clothes, speaks with a strange accent.
Sure. I'm planning on finding that later.
Oh, I guess I would have actually asked you about your shipboard experience.
No. I mean, I slew a air mage upon a ship, but I later regretted it.
You'll have to tell me that story someday.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
Make
about
sure
that.
I'm not around.
I'll tell you about the time that I was on board one of these, and there was a ship on a collision course with us, and I thought taking out the pilot was a good idea.
Strangely similar circumstances.
I've spent a lot of time on board a ship like this. So then...
I look like answering the phone.
No!
Yeah, I turned mine off so I would stop getting messages.
Good idea. So,
I'm sorry.
You want the others?
Yeah.
So there's Cook, Otter, Jerome, Mama Tina's nephew.
That's right. So we are in for some spicy meatballs.
Well, I still have my own thing of the gumbo.
Yep.
And Jerome is like, wow.
Eleanor, the coyote medic. Again, you have a medic. She's a coyote. You're not sure you trust her.
So were you the one that ended
and
up,
then
like,
the
just absolutely
brother
passing
and
out
sister,
from the,
possibly
gumbo?
Twins, Aaron and
yeah.
Nora?
Yeah.
A-A-R-O-N.
1-A.
Which makes it really funny. So it's
R-O-N,
this big monster of a panther.
Really?
This gumbo was so spicy, he took a couple bites and just went...
And what are they?
They're both experienced sailors.
And my character went
sailors
in.
And tiny squirrels.
Oh, like wolves. Three bowls of it. And everyone's going,
what's wrong with your mouth?
Magic.
Put everything in the pearl.
I cheated.
They do kind of work as a pair.
We have 11 people! We are no longer a skeleton crew!
And, yeah, cast
technically,
my character is a
flaming squirrel. A full crew on this ship is 25 active members.
Which means 50, because you figure two, three shifts.
Right.
Oh, well. We can build up to that.
You, Kiori, get on board and see how much crew there is. And get a look around the ship and go, well, this is about a fifth of the number of people I would expect to be serving this ship.
Means I get better quarters, right?
Means that everybody gets their own quarters. And they're nice.
Everybody gets their own quarters, but the bat seems to sleep in my room.
Yes.
I haven't figured that one out yet.
I have my very own cupboard.
It's padded for when the ship hits a storm. Nice and soft.
This is better than
after
the last
one. After the metal cage that he's been in for the last couple of years?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, throwing that overboard was a lot of fun.
He did a little dance.
Spread his wings a bit.
Well, no, we got the panther to hurl. Throw it back at Triskel. Ding! Crap! That means the ship's right behind us.
It's boom.
I sort of lost myself and went, yay! And then I got blown away.
And then somewhere you off in the distance here, go God!
You threw it all the way back to Triskel.
What happened? Well, one of the guards almost spotted us. But then he had a concussion and forgot what he saw.
Maple pancakes.
Yeah. Next day, how can you let the ship go? Spaghetti. Right.
Hey, our crew is almost a third female. It's just over a third female now.
Yeah. Assuming you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always good to ask. We had a character in a previous game that, well, nobody in the game except them actually knew. So,
it's a
raccoon,
it's special.
Dragoon
it's
with
a
body
four. So he was teeny
and constantly wore heavy uniforming and was strapped with pistols and explosives and stuff.
So there was no real way to tell what gender it was. And the only person who got close was the wrong kind of person to check while the other person
right.
was unconscious.
Because it was our medic at the time, but he was a magical healer, so he went humana 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 and healed.
More to the point, to some degree, Skip would never have thought that it was any of
his
business.
But it wasn't even like they had to strip down and bind wounds. It was just... So, you guys get out of dock and get out of the area pretty quick,
well,
because things have been bad here.
Mm-hmm. What
at least for the last day.
What would truly terrify you, though, is you're looking at these balloons and, you're, and you get on board in the morning and you're thinking, we'll be out of here in 3-4 hours.
That's
and then the balloons fill up.
Inflate the balloons.
And the balloons fill up in less than an hour.
Okay,
the main engineer is walking around a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, if you just do it in less than an hour.
Yeah,
you did it in 15 minutes
that's
when we
true.
Left off.
Yeah.
There's something funny about
this. But that was you essentially just burning Pilum of Fire
yeah.
over and over and over again into the engine. And then, once it was up, adding coal. Here you add coal, get things burning, and you know, sure. Okay. So yeah, in what you're expecting to, like, I'm going to inspect some of the ship and then get down to engineering and they'll have the fire going and we'll see what's going on then. You haven't finished checking out the top deck
yet, if you really want.
And over the... so there's copper piping that runs... Or brass piping, actually, that runs all through the ship so that you can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So over the general communications, you hear, "Ready to take off, sir."
I'm dropping what I'm doing and rushing down to the to the fires.
At which point, I'm shoveling coal.
Right. And so by the time you get there, you're like, okay, it's a very nice... it's clean. You've never seen a clean engine room before. This ship can't be more than a few weeks old. But it doesn't look like any particularly unique engine build. There's nothing that indicates it should have been able to inflate that quickly.
Okay, I'm definitely going to go over everything with a fine tooth comb.
The ability later on to bind fire elementals.
Yeah. So that's actually one of the gifts I'm thinking.
A fire-driven ship. Yeah.
Oh, God,
well,
that would be beautiful.
But if he binds a fire elemental into the engine and then binds air elementals into the balloons, we will never fall out of the sky.
That's
I'm working on it.
He controls the elements.
It's true. Although, actually... According to the rules, once they're bound, you don't have to make contest rolls anymore. Unless you leave them out for a certain period of time.
Right.
I'll approach the first mate.
That'd be the giant panther.
I'll come over with a belaying pin with a small wire spool on the bottom. And I'm pulling off the wire spool. And I'll say, excuse me, could I keep a small amount of this? This belaying pin, it'll be all right with the rest. Actually, a bit of the wire. Would that be all right?
What do you need it for?
It's probably a bit past you unless you're familiar with magic.
You're familiar with magic. Magic is bad. Except now you think that magic is good.
Or at the very least, not as bad as... And yes, they do seem to reference the mage on board as the Mageneer.
Yes, because you probably would have figured out.
Which is a type
really
of mage
that
you've never heard of before. Though you've seen the guy that they call Mageneer, and he's wearing red robes, which indicates he's probably an elementalist and probably works with fire mostly.
Right. That's the one who's running earlier until I convinced him.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yes, but now we have a Mageneer and an engineer, and Chris's character is going to be really confused.
I still can't find anything wrong with the ship. Slash different with the ship.
Right.
So I'm sure at the end we'll let you have it. It's just, you know.
Okay.
I'll
put the belaying pin back.
There's actually... they would stop you from unwrapping it from that because there is a thoroughly stocked workshop with repair materials on board. So if you need wire... They have
we have two left.
But I need this wire.
Ah.
When I'm done with the engine room, by the way, I'm going to go to the workshop and my workshop.
Tie it around my wrist. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. What did you just say? No, I'm piloting a ship out of dock, I assume.
Yeah.
Huh? Incredibly territorial of their workshop.
Yeah, so you get in and there is already... half a gunsmith's shop set up.
there's one of the probably four or so tables that's there that has been marked out as a gunsmith's space. Just well, based
no,
on the tools.
I imagine at this point, because there was nobody else using
that's
the
true.
Workshop.
Yeah.
Is pretty much half the workshop that is designed for maintaining the ship has preparations for gunsmithing. Already set out and ready to go.
Laring knows. First, standing up on
him. On the other hand, you've seen the rifle that the captain carries around.
Ship bigger. I don't think you
can.
Where am I going to do my
experiment? Make stuff for your sights that will add those effects.
I think it's three quarters of this.
But yeah, it's
if you were just going to do gunsmithing here, you'd use at least this much space. Planning on doing other stuff here, there's no reason to take up this much space.
Hit the light switch.
Like I said, there's like four tables. He's using three of them.
Yeah, he's spread out because he can be spread out.
Right.
And now I'm not going to move his stuff, but I'm very obviously going to start spreading stuff like right up to his borders.
Well, you're sure who it is because although there are a few guns on board, there's only one.
Maria, that doesn't mean I'm not going to like make it very obvious that I want more space.
Right, but what I'm saying is you would know who to ask directly. And passive aggression
on board a ship when you're not familiar with the crew is always a bad idea. If you've served on multiple ships, you know that.
Yeah. And you're a badger. You're much more likely to just go, I need this, than, hey, do you think there's some extra?
Okay. That's going to be
sitting there,
first
I'm flying the ship. She comes up to poke me. I twitch out of the way. Yes.
I need more space.
You have quarters that should be quite ample.
Not personal space. Workspace.
Oh, sure. I tell you what, when we're out of port, give me a few minutes and I'll clean up some space. I don't really need that much space, but nobody else was using it, so.
Which again makes you go, how the hell did they get this far?
Yeah. You see very
calculating. At the very least, they made it from Triskelin to here. They should have had to use the workshop.
Which, if she looks around, she notices they made it this far with upside down maps.
Right.
Well,
the maps all are upside down.
Well, the map's inside the piloting room?
Well, no, he's in the piloting room.
Right.
Well, he works...
Right.
So you stand at sort of a raised center column with an open view of those front windows. He is to your side...
Reading the maps.
Working there. Yeah.
And the rest of the maps are actually kept in the captain's
quarters. All of the other maps are in scroll work. No, they're in this room, but they're in the big lockable cabinets in this room. Big, like a bookshelf-sized cabinet with locking front doors.
I believe she's giving you gentlemen the canny look.
There's something going on here. I'm going to find out what it is. I'm not sure what it is yet, look. And as soon as you turn your back on me to look out, I'll be gone.
No, I don't turn my back on yet. You're talking to the wrong person. You tried to touch me from behind, and like I said, I moved out of the way so that you didn't actually touch me. And from that point on, I'm watching you.
You've worked with some paranoid captains. They don't stack up to this one.
To be fair, the odds that you've worked with a gray fox captain before with the type of work you were doing, pretty low.
So you're the only one that... So she wouldn't so much, but you would get... Gray fox means something very particular. Gray fox means, chances are, nobility.
Rinaldi nobility, typically.
Well, not necessarily of the Rinaldi line, but definitely a blue blood.
Although he does carry himself like a hell of an aristocrat.
Right. And
somewhat tempered by military life.
Does your gun hold your signet?
I haven't had time to take it off yet, so...
Then there is a Rinaldi coat of arms on his rifle butt, too.
I know how quickly he was particular... To say, no need to call me my lord, just call me captain.
Right.
Well.
So there is some curiosity to that.
Well,
but to be fair, the fact of the matter is that on an airship, captain supersedes the lord almost every time. So, captain supersedes everything but admiral almost every time.
To be fair, there used to be Admiral bars on the jacket you're wearing.
Those are not there anymore. There aren't even captain bars on the jacket I'm wearing anymore. There's no military trappings of any kind, save the fact that it was obviously a military captain's jacket at one point.
Oh, yeah, and as you're looking around the ship, and I'll have to tell her, too, There are mountings on the walls and on many of the doors that had some sort of crest or something on them, and they have been removed almost universally.
Almost completely.
Yeah.
So I will approach the captain, saying, my apologies for intruding, Captain. And I'll look to the
I'm just flying the ship. Anyone can talk to me as long as I'm out here.
Right. I say, I possess certain gifts. When a person is lost or stray, if I have a small sample of them, it's known as a synodosh. If I have a synodosh, I'm able to track that person down. I'm curious whether you would like me to gather small samples of your crew.
Of them? Sure.
But not yourself?
No.
Are you certain it won't be of use at some point in the future, or would you rather take the risk?
There are risks I'm willing to take, but people being able to find me might not be the best situation for me.
I understand. Perhaps in the future you'll agree to its utility. Although, if it's mere squeamishness, I'm certain the rest of your crew will agree in that manner.
It is entirely possible that some of them may also refuse your request, but you have my permission to ask.
My thanks. I will. So, please, tell me your reactions, squeamish or otherwise.
You're actually in the room, in the same room, so you're there for that conversation.
Yeah.
Well, the best part is that we actually took all of his stuff with us. So there's no one in Triskelion who could do that to him.
Yeah.
And I'm dead. And he took all of his stuff with him.
So what is it you need?
To be able to help find you using thaumaturgy, I would need a small sample of something connected to you. A hair, a piece of clothing that you frequent, a nail, anything. I would keep this, and if anything happened to you, and you were lost or captured and we didn't know where you were, I could then use thaumaturgy to track you down. I don't seem to be able to give much other service to the ship, but this one guarantee I can give. I can find you. I'm very good at my job.
That may not be a good thing.
I don't have a whole lot of my own value.
Are covered in fur.
That's true. Actually, I would probably give you one of my pins.
Oh, there you go.
Because you use all the time.
So pull out a small bit of parchment, wrap it up, small wax seal, draw symbols on it, and place it in his thing. He says, thank you. So I will not mistake your bravery among your crew again.
He has a collection of quill pens. Almost all of them are made from raven's feathers.
The man's been brave. Braver by far than most of the crew, I expect. Not going hard to be like, oh, raven's feather. Do you naturally? Is he a raven?
No,
he's a bat.
Yeah, I'm not going to insult him any further.
The other thing is that he's also very possibly the first bat you've ever seen in person. Because bats were run out of Triskelion.
And the rest of Calabria.
And most of the rest of Calabria at the same time that the rest of the mages were.
What's that? No, I didn't put
the
bats are If the bats are accepted anywhere in Calabria, the closest that it would come to would be out in Harrowgate.
Wait, what? I killed two bat mages? No, I didn't. No one can confirm I did. Excuse me.
Although there has been recent PR that the church is reconciling with their past, it's been unsuccessful as of yet.
Okay. I'll make the same offer to the first mate.
No.
Says the 7 foot something panther.
If it's mere squeamishness,
no.
Your captain can keep the synodos if you wish. You trust your captain, right? So, even if you don't trust men.
Let me ask you this. Okay. Did you get him to do it?
I assume with his questionable nobility, there he had some reason.
Well, my answer is the same as his. Maybe it's for the same reason. Maybe it's not.
Fair enough. I suppose we'll
call him brave.
For the entire time that I've known you, you are brave.
Well, thank you.
Let's see, how much further can I backstab that confidence? <Yeah. laughs>
Be brave.
Be engineer.
That one?
So engineer or major?
Yeah.
So you get down to engineering, and there's a badger looking very unhappy with what's going on and very confused, and the fire mage shoveling coal looking quite satisfied. None of this makes sense.
Keep in mind, I'm filling up all of the machines in the room going, tell me your secrets.
She's rubbing her hands on the machines and going, oh yes, oh god, yes.
I could come back.
So it's basically like,
I'll come back.
Yeah, that's one of those. Never mind.
I'll leave you two alone.
So here's the thing, just for your
I hope we're working towards an increased
throwing
body.
Out that you're
oh, yeah.
engaged to this many people. Well, my
he comes from a very different perspective.
That's true. In Dolaro lands, because they do not follow the church.
But also then he was a witch hunter.
Right.
So he was not just a mage. He was a mage cleared and enforced by
the church.
Church.
Sure.
I don't like carrots.
Why not?
That's why they gave you ranch sauce. That's why they gave you ranch, so that you would eat things that you don't like.
So do you ask me?
No, I was walking up and I saw her massaging the engineer parts of the ship.
And yeah, past her, you can see him shoveling coal. And it's just like,
and he is the weirdest looking squirrel that you have ever seen.
Right.
Yeah.
His robes.
He's a squirrel, and his robes fit wrong. You're not sure what it is, but the robes don't look right.
Hey, enough. You guys either play together or you guys...
But he's also very small. So the significantly larger engineer confusedly massaging equipment, while the very small squirrel in mage robes does the physical labor. None of this makes sense.
So I was sitting there for a moment. I'll come back.
Rabbit wearing odd clothing and speaking with a strange accent. If you'd like to make an academics roll, you can try to identify the accent.
Oh, sure.
Mind and academics.
Alrighty.
Is not enough. You don't know where she's from. She refuses and says a whole lot of stuff in another language and makes some weird hand gestures at you.
A simple no would suffice.
Okay.
Cream for that.
The cook snips off a bit of tuft from his ear and hands it to you without stopping cooking. He just picks up a knife and goes and keeps going.
my thanks. I'll be certain to leave this with the captain.
She OCD is going.
No.
Leaving these with the captain seems to leave more.
Keeping
fun.
Everything clean, washing hands.
That's what I was talking about.
He doesn't come from that philosophy in his cooking.
I know.
He comes from the philosophy of, ooh, look, reach into the water, pull it out, shake it off, put it in the pot.
What do you mean, gut it and scale it? Why would you gut it and scale it? The scales crunch and you get to spit them out afterwards.
These are the best parts.
Damn it. So
he also
spent an hour shelling those shrimp last night for nothing?
Well, he comes from the school of cooking also that has... I cook all of these things. But while I'm cooking anything, there is always the pot of stew. And if anything messes up, if there's anything extra, if there's a bit of random bit, it goes into the pot of stew.
I'm going to be
visiting the kitchen
a lot.
There is always stew.
The question
often tastes different than the day before, even though it's the same basic stew.
It might actually taste different from hour to hour, depending upon what it is that he's doing to it.
Right. The coyote medic gives you a significant back and forth before relenting and giving you a snippet of fur from her tail.
I'll show your captain.
Sorry, the medic coyote. I think I said wolf. Aaron and Nora, the two wolves working the lines. They're experienced sailors. That is their job at this point. And so they are moving around the ship, checking lines, making sure rigging is solid,
and
generally crowing to one another.
Look at my old man!
Besides that, experienced sailors in the ship. And both of them willingly give you snippets of their clothing. You're not sure how long they've had that clothing.
Are you saying this looks new?
No, I'm saying they give it to you with a smile.
Not my business. I'll keep it to the captain. If they want to get lost, it's not my problem. Help me! So I deliver the sendoshes to you, carefully labeled, that evening and say,
Oh, you still never asked the two engineers.
I have not, but
yeah.
That conversation is coming to later. I deliver it to you and say, for safekeeping, even against myself.
Very well. And I accept them, and they go into the same cabinet as
the new captain's box.
Oh, right. That's right. You bought,
a new captain's box. You had it installed.
Yeah. I regret that your first mate refused. He said his reasons were the same as yours.
He is a cautious man. He is also a good friend. And not difficult to find.
Sometimes you get the impression that all of his sentences actually end with "at range," though you're not really sure.
He has quite a view through a scope. He's a good friend.
I love pizza.
He's a good friend. At range. Not always easy to find. At range.
I enjoy pizza.
I trust you completely. At range. You've got nothing to worry about at much further range.
That's why you're like, I hunt mages. It's like, really? I can too. I get up in their faces. I don't. In fact, if they see me, I've done something wrong.
Right.
So, you get out of dock. Where are you going?
Well, that's actually something that I need to discuss with the crew. And by the crew, I mean the PCs.
Right. You call all hands not preoccupied to... to the mess? To the deck?
To the deck.
Star Trek whistle! This is your time!
Actually, it's him.
I can't whistle.
But your panther can, though.
Yeah. Well, actually, you have a whistle.
Yeah.
It's a bosun's whistle. It's a little...
Yeah.
It looks like a pipe, and it's got a thing on top, so you can change the tone.
Yeah, and then he's... And he starts giving calls. And... Thank you,
Chica. Oh, you see, I have things in my
hand. Well, fortunately, you give calls over the piping, so it goes to the ship.
Yeah, you just open up all of the caps and...
So, crew gathers.
Yeah. I'll tell you to go on ahead. I'll make sure the ship has enough fuel in it to keep it going. I'll be up in a minute.
Still shoveling?
And as soon as she leaves, I'll give it a nice big...
Throw in a whole bunch of clothing. Okay.
Yeah.
And when he gets up there, I'm still not sure how things are going. If we're both up here.
Mom.
Nobody else seems concerned.
Mom, you fill up on coal, the ship will run for a while.
Yeah, but how exactly did he fill up on coal in just that small amount of time?
Yes, that is true. It is unusual that...
Because you actually did probably a shaper... Coal.
Yep.
Okay. Actually, no. I believe we described before that there is actually a rotor running that is dumping coal from the big
cache.
As long as you're not starting things, the coal will run mostly automatically.
Yeah.
In which case, I'm not concerned.
It is one. It is a very cool system.
It is probably the system I spawned with.
That and the fact that the steam that is created both runs the turbines and heats most of the ship.
Radiant heating, nice.
So.
Assembled!
Avenger, wait.
What did we call the ship again?
I know you did name it, but did I write it down?
Destiny. Oh, no.
No, Destiny, Raffaella. Destiny was its given name, the Raffaella.
Right, because we named it after yet another of my girlfriends.
Right.
I like naming things after girlfriends. Wrong. You know what to expect.
It was not a ship of the line. You don't want to see a ship of the line.
This was scheduled to be a ship of the line.
No, this was scheduled to be a flagship, not a ship of the line. I had that wrong. Because a ship of the line is, in this case, a triple decker that is mostly cannons on both sides.
Oh.
And yeah, this is something of a combination between a clipper and a warship.
Yeah. Yeah, you have never seen a ship of this particular cut. But it is fancy and new. Very clearly new.
No one has seen me drooling. That's a secret thing.
She, on the other hand, has been openly fondling it. Almost everywhere she goes.
The best shit I've ever seen.
She walks
well, the copper tubing. The copper tubing is one of the best things, because that's because tubing is a fairly common thing. Copper tubing is not.
Well, brass.
Well, oh, right.
Yeah.
Even better sound carrying qualities.
Right.
Because it's bell metal.
Yeah, the entire thing is laced with brass.
Actually, I suppose I can describe the ship for those of you what were not here before.
That would be nice.
So it's standard running crew is 25 to 30, which means probably 50 to 60. There's room for at least 75 on board. Yeah, she's a grand dual Zeppelin. Built with a central hull and two individually fed bags to either side. If either one is destroyed, then you can still make it to the ground safely on the remainder. The hull is a long, narrow draft built for speed. It should not likely stand rough seas on her own, but she can fly, so she doesn't have to.
And how long is she?
Approximately? About 125 paces, all told.
Big-ass ship.
Yes. and not particularly deep, so...
Put up a table.
She has housings for 10 cannon aside, 2 fore and 3 aft. The cannons do not seem to be all installed.
So what? Two on each side?
Two, four, and one cannon on each side.
So there's a total of four, and three aft.
She's ready for two to the front. Two to the front and three to the aft. The two to the front are in, and one to either side is in. They now have what appears to be a very full Gallium Martyr. So the honor is happy. Curiously, there is a large glass portal on the bottom of the hall that can be opened or sealed. And there are three boarding harpoons locked and loaded to either side of the deck.
Are everyone still in uniforms?
He is wearing most of a uniform, sans any real notable
insignia,
and so is he. But everybody else seems to be wearing civvies.
Except for me.
Well, you're wearing robes. You're still civvies.
Well, they had gotten me some outfits while they were there.
Right,
yeah. But they got you outfits here. So you're now dressed nicely, but not
in civilian clothing, not in your uniforms anymore.
Yeah.
Because your uniforms used to be all you were allowed to wear.
Right. Oh, okay. I thought you would at least try to get some sort of uniform color or something. But
no, I mean, at this point, I actually finally have a wardrobe, too, because I didn't have anything. I had the Admiral's uniform. That was it.
So what you need, Captain?
We need to decide on where we're going. And so I was going to call on the more experienced members of our crew. I've already stated our goal will be to take down pirates. Some of us here have a direct aversion to piracy earned through years of service or perhaps other more vicious encounters. And so this seems to be a suitable thing to do with a ship like this. So, any ideas on where we should look? Because just watching the merchant lanes might be hazardous to our health.
Didn't Harrogate known for mercenaries?
Yes. Pirates as well. But flying into a pirate port and then saying that we're here to hunt pirates might not go over so well.
What about flying into a pirate port and filling up the cannons?
That is part of our goal, but at this point we need to find a place that both has cannon and is willing to sell for prices that we can afford. Our hope was to perhaps take a ship or two on the way there to better fund such endeavors.
And I can show you on the maps all the areas we were told to avoid due to piracy.
That's a good start.
Works for me.
The person whose input I really, of course, want most here, the player, is not here.
She doesn't have any particular idea how you could find a pirate. She knows how you could find a good trading lane where one could find good scores, but translating that to also picking the right lane at the right time when there's a ship coming through that a pirate ship attacks.
I don't necessarily need it to be an actively working, you know, a fighting another ship pirate ship. I just require it to be a pirate vessel.
It's true. Still, the pirate vessels tend not to be out and about unless they are
actively
pirating.
Yeah.
And if we find them not in the act, then there is like to attack us and try to take us down as the inverse.
May I try to find an indirect shipping lane that is known to have pirates but is not directly connected to Harrogate?
or Triskelion. The real problem would be that the major shipping lanes would be patrolled by warships, and most of those warships would be on the alert for this ship.
Indirect shipping lane.
You could find indirect shipping lanes out of the way places where pirates have been seen. These would be places where it's less likely to run into anybody.
Academics, geography.
You might be able to figure out a place like that. It would be a place where you would be less likely to run into anybody.
Oh.
So could I do an academics role to find some story about famous pirates or whatever that
would
be possible?
Well,
what
we really need to find is word of a particularly large catch. A very, well-off ship or so that's going through that might be a good hit.
That's actually not a bad idea. The problem is that I don't know where to find such word, considering that we've already left the port.
That's the problem, I'm saying.
So we know what the major shipping lanes are. We also know that they do not expect us to be on major shipping lanes right now. There's no reason for us to be on major shipping lanes. We're hiding from them, clearly.
I'm an arbiter. If you're looking for feedback from me, you're not going to get it.
Since we're acting as privateers, could we hire on with someone to defend their shipping exclusively?
Or find a port to take on cargo?
Brandon!
We could act as merchanteers ourselves until, of course, we, run into pirates.
Right, that's actually...
also give us a good place to,
One way to find pirates is to be the bait for the pirates to come after us.
The problem is that there is no way to make this ship look like anything other than what she is.
That's very true.
It's not like we can disguise ourselves as a fat, wallowing traitor.
But it might give us reason.
No,
I'm
so sorry.
It's a new ship, but I can tell by looking at the lines of her that she's a warship. Mm. So can anyone else with half a brain in their head.
Yes, but we're dealing with pirates, right?
And most of the ones that I've known are more dangerous than some of the captains that the church hires.
That's not what the stories say. Interesting.
So a couple
of
ideas.
And we believe everything the church tells us.
Right. Point.
So there are places that we were told, that the church told, you to avoid because of pirates. That's as good a place as any. Let's find the nearest of those and we'll see what we can turn up. If it ends up being nothing, we can always go to port within a few days and... try something else.
Well, is there a certain port we want to aim for? Because then I might be able to navigate through on the way.
And the rabbit is silent.
she does not seem particularly interested in giving you specific places where she knows pirates to be.
All right.
She actually knows any specific places.
So we don't actually want to go to Harrogate. We want to go to somewhere near Harrogate that will have the same effect, but is less likely to have heard about what's going on.
Well, the other concern I have, and the GM may override me on this, is that the vast majority of the maps that I have are Triskelion-centric. And if we want to know things that Triskelion doesn't know, we're probably going to want to find maps that...
And that's all for now. Thanks for listening. Original Game World and Systems from Ironclaw 2nd Edition and production of Sanguine Press. Each of us has our own copy, either digital or paper, thanks to Studio 2 Publishing. If you'd like to learn more about these products, or better yet, pick up your own copy, please head over to sanguine.com. That's www.sanguine.com. House rules, gifts, and setting changes are all non-canon by me and mine. Hope you had fun, and we'll come join us around our gaming table again next week.